Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
That's the Aaron Rodgers that we all know. Welcome, it is I Want Your Flex, getting you set for week three, but also taking a look in our rearview mirror on what happened in week two. And I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers throwing passes to Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams getting yards, Mike. That's what we had on Monday night as the Packers righted some of their wrongs by beating the Lions 35-17.
I don't know. According to Aaron Rodgers, everything's fixed. All the haters blanked that. It's like, no, you brought it on yourself, you fool. That's what you do when you go hang out with Miles Teller in the mountains and waterfalls and whatever else, and you have all your media minions spreading your message and your lies and deceit. No, in the end, you have a big game. I still have a problem with the shovel pass of 6 inches going as a touchdown pass.
Yep.
But it is what it is. You know, they all count just the same for everybody in fantasy land. So, yeah, you got your big days from Jones and Rodgers. Maybe that allowed you to overcome some huge deficits. We got our guy Tonyan back in the mix down the seam. Peyton Manning was incensed that the defense didn't see that one coming. And then you have on the other side, the only startable guy week in, week out for the Lions is Hockenson.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff's going to find his way into your lineup sometimes, and I think there's still some good, especially if he's going to start taking off and running like hell. But, you know, on a week-to-week basis, the rest of those guys, I can't say I trust them.
As crazy as it is, that was actually my takeaway from this game, is I think TJ Hockenson is the third best tight end play in fantasy football right now. And he had bordered top five. Number five was I never saw him three, maybe four. But usually it was Mark Andrews or Kyle Pitts in that spot. And George Kittle was the guy that kind of occupied the number three spot behind Darren Waller and obviously Travis Kelce. But as you see how this early portion of the season is gone, and you look at the three other guys, San Francisco's quarterback situation is kind of up in the air, Mike, with Jimmy Garoppolo playing the way that he plays and Trey Lance waiting in the wings. Kittle only had four catches for 17 yards in their game against Philadelphia, so there wasn't a lot there. Kyle Pitts seemed to kind of get acclimated, but the Falcons ended up giving up a couple of defensive touchdowns and falling to the Buccaneers. And then you have Mark Andrews and the Ravens, and it's Lamar and that running game that seemed to be doing more of the damage. So I think TJ Hockenson has a top three fantasy play so far this season is not only not a stretch, I think it's actual fact as we are two games in.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the mismatch, even on double teams, he's going up and getting the ball. And say what you will about Jared Goff, I decided, you know, thinking about it, I was walking my dog this afternoon, Dan, and I had this epiphany that I seem to be the guy that champions all the quarterbacks people hate. Because I was on board Josh Allen before last year. Lamar Jackson, I've defended every which way till Sunday. It's like, how do you go around the fact that the guy wins games? You may not like the style. It may not be your cup of tea. And, yes, there's going to be some frustrations in the downfield passing game at time. But in the end, the guy leaves it all between the lines, and he makes play after play. Likewise, Mitchell Trubisky, I think you're seeing more and more in Chicago that it's more a Matt Nagy and a system thing than the individual quarterback. So, like, you just go on down the line. But with Jared Goff, he's the last of that group. All right, had a playoff run, had a Super Bowl appearance with Sean McVay. They bring him here. You don't have great wide receiver options. Sorry, folks, they let them all go.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Right?
No offense, Quintez Cephas.
Yeah, no, Cephas. I mean, look, because then you start thinking about Bo Cephas, and you start thinking about, oh, my rowdy friends are coming over tonight, and we got Hank Williams Jr. back in a bit. No, but it's the kind of thing that you look at that receiving core, and you're like, eh, it's one guy. And it's your tight end. And Jared Goff, that's his best friend, to steal from the verbiage of Jason Smith on our show on Fox Sports Radio. And his target count's going to be immense until they go to the box and one like college basketball.
Hockenson, 8 catches, 66 yards, and a score. This following up his week one performance against San Francisco, 8 catches, 97 yards, and a score. So the production is there. The opportunities are going to be there. And I do think that the Lions are a team that will play like they played on Monday night in Green Bay, where they will have a half where they play well, and maybe that other half they just can't compete. In the 49ers game, it was the second half where they actually were able to compete. In the first half, maybe not so much. But in this Green Bay game, it was for the first half where they were able to compete for Green Bay. But in the second half, Packers just ended up turning it on. But still, with all that being said, it just does not diminish what TJ Hockenson can do for you fantasy-wise in the upcoming weeks we've got in the season.
Yeah, and like every game, you have those calls that maybe you want to curse the officials out or send them some flowers. Aaron Jones fantasy owners need to send some flowers because of that phantom pass interference call that was the defense of Davante Adams in and around the goal line that would have brought up a fourth down and a field goal try. It also messed things up if you'd bet the Lions with the spread. Just thought I'd throw that out there, Dan.
Yeah, I know Pat McAfee was interested in that as well. I think that a lot of people were watching late. I will say that you mentioned Aaron Jones, and this would have been my other takeaway if I had two, but I just chose the Hockenson one. We talked about it on the last podcast episode. So much was being made about Aaron Rodgers and what was wrong with the Packers offense and Jameis Winston's 5 touchdowns that nobody was really talking about what Aaron Jones didn't do and have the opportunity to do against the Saints in their week one game in Jacksonville. And he was able to at least show that, got in the end zone again 4 times on Monday night. Mm-hmm. Whether they were legitimate passes or not, 3 of those were receptions. And so Aaron Jones's breakout is maybe even more of a fantasy storyline than even Aaron Rodgers having a decent night for Green Bay.
Yeah, what's funny is we start looking at that squad, Dan, and we mentioned Tonyan and obviously Davante Adams. They don't really have anybody else, right? You look at the game tonight or Monday night for those listening later on in the week in the podcast form, late in the week getting ready for.
Well, it's already Tuesday when we're recording this, so it's all good. So.
Yeah, I guess it has flipped the – yeah, exactly. You just start thinking of things in time compression. But anyway, the idea being that Randall Cobb had 3 catches for 26 yards. They didn't connect with Valdes-Scantling, right? 4 targets and a big 0. And Rodgers actually made the big point in the post-game interviews of he missed them 3 times. What could have been 3 touchdowns, right? And then you really don't have a lot else. So it's going to need this Packers offense is going to need a lot from Jones as a runner and receiver. And we'll see what A.J. Dillon becomes over the course of the year. It's a long 15 games remaining here. But at least for now, you got the safety valve in Aaron Jones, but the run game is going to need to have a big say because I don't think that defense is very good. And they played a good second half. I think there was 86 total yards of offense by the Lions in the second half. 43 of that was Jared Goff running for his life. So you have that, but that's not one to hang your hat on. And eventually Bakhtiari and all those guys will be back. So you look for better days. But to your point, I think it's all going to run through Aaron Jones as well as this team can play.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a little bit more of Green Bay playing like the 2019 Green Bay Packers. They're trying to play that way as opposed to the 2020. Do you want to do report cards? Or do you have anything left from that orange that was in Lambeau?
No, I think that's the end of it. Let's move to report cards.
Yeah, okay. The 3-point conversions that we look back on, 2 out of 3. I told you there would be no garbage time for Jacksonville. There wasn't. Pointsapalooza wasn't Arizona. Vikings nice. And Cardinals putting up a bunch. I did my you better commit. That was a complete failure. Cole Kmet only had 1 catch, and he didn't gain any yards with that catch. So I told you to pick up Cole Kmet. I apologize for that. But I will say, Mike, if you are a frequent listener to this podcast, A week ago, I told you about KJ Osborne of Minnesota, and he cashed in within the first minute of their game against Arizona in that points-a-palooza. So I am effectively saying that wipes out Kmet. That gave you one reason to start Mike Williams. He had a good day. Gave you one reason to bench Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He had a not-so-great day. So I feel pretty well with how things played out in week two.
No, that's a big one. Edwards-Helaire, a jag. Here's the problem. With all the injuries in San Francisco and Baltimore, there's no running backs to bring in for help. Because Frank Gore's now training to be a boxer. So, I mean, he's not even available to you anymore.
Maybe Ricky Waters or Roger Craig could come back.
Ooh, nicely done. I like that. To your Cole Kmet point, Matt Nagy, as he did like nine times last year, did say it was his fault that Cole Kmet wasn't a bigger factor in the offense against Cincinnati.
Well, good.
Yeah, he had a second catch that he got called back because of an offensive pass interference, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah, I did. I saw that play as well, and I thought, all right. And then, nope, the only reason he was open was because of that offensive pass interference.
No, but you had a fantastic week. And Mike Williams is a guy, the way that offense is flowing right now, even if they're not putting up big points, they're moving the ball. And that, well, it just sounds like the Chargers team we've come to know and love or loathe, depending on how you're feeling about it. But Mike Williams could be a 100-catch guy.
Yeah.
The way this is starting to flow.
He's a start every week. I will not take him out of the lineup.
I would agree there. As I look back at the 3 points, I did a couple of larger season picture things. The don't bail on your studs, ... yet. Well, maybe after 2 weeks, we kind of know what these teams are becoming. So we push that to the side. The waiver philosophy, play defense. And then the third one was just the Bucks putting up points and then trying to guess who was going to score them. And once again, we get a lot of Rob Gronkowski early on. So, you know, as we were talking about tight ends and Hockenson, I don't know how long it lasts, Dan, but I'll be damned. Every week, that 87 is just running in like a madman.
I thought it was going to last a week, so I've already been proven wrong there.
Yeah, I mean, look, eventually there's going to be an injury, and eventually, you know, there's an O.J. Howard, or maybe there's just a, hey, you know what, take your load management week.
Yes, that's what I think it's going to be. It's a long season. They're going to need him in January and February if they want to achieve their goals. They don't need Gronk playing, you know, and catching eight balls a game. They don't need that.
It has been confirmed, though. Anybody with a pulse against the Falcons defense.
It's true. It's unfortunately for them, it's true.
In terms of other big notes from the week that was, we had Teddy Two Gloves once again. We told you that you could still start Damian Harris. Not a big game, but scored a touchdown. We have the usual issues with Daryl Henderson, but he scored before he left, and now Sony Michel is the guy. If you're looking around your waiver wire, maybe he's there, and we'll get into a deeper waiver push in a moment. CEH let me down. We went opposite each other in that one. I had him as a hot play. Lamar, I showed faith in. Allen Robinson got the early touchdown, so that's good. Joe Burrow was miserable for a good chunk of the day, but a couple of saver scores and makes it, put some at least some salve on it so it doesn't burn quite as much. But, yeah, it's been just an interesting 2 weeks that we've just got so many injuries and teams where we're still trying to stake out where that identity is, because you've got two very different performances, right? We looked at Tennessee, and Derrick Henry was a guy I didn't put in my top five, right? He was, I think I ranked him sixth for the week, and he goes off and has this monster game against Seattle after they were dead in the water in week one and got blown out by Arizona. We do know this, that points of palooza, we need to A, trademark it, B, put Kyler Murray's picture on one of the tent poles, because he's going to be leading the charge, it looks like, in these games.
I did feel guilty thinking about that. I'm like, I've had back-to-back weeks where I've said whatever game that Kyler Murray's going to play was going to be the points of palooza. So I'm going to have to switch it up for week three.
You know what, though, Dan? Let's go to week three. Let's take a look at the schedule. And then you say, well, maybe. Because they're going to put up points. Fun, exciting offense. Yeah, and they're in Jacksonville. So, you know what? That would That would mean, though, that Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer get off social media and begging you to keep watching them and paying attention and supporting them long enough to come up with a game plan to put some points to add to a points-a-palooza.
Well, I can guarantee you this. I'll even tell it on this episode. My never is going to be a Super Bowl game will be the Cardinals and Jaguars for week three. There will never be a Super Bowl featuring Arizona taking on Jacksonville. It is not going to happen. I will give you props, though. You mentioned the quarterbacks, and just for those of you that don't realize it, Mike named about 9 quarterbacks, guys that you want to play in his top 5 and other hot plays and other ninjas. And I would say that 8 of them came through for you. So you have that to at least hang your hat on. And, you know, you had Dak as a cold sore. I thought maybe that Chargers-Cowboys game could have ended up playing out to be a points-a-palooza. Mm-hmm. And it was anything but. Cowboys end up, you know, getting the late field goal to win. But Dak was pedestrian, would be kind. I mean, very efficient, but with the 4 incompletions, but still only threw for 237 yards and an interception, and you had him on the cold sores list. So you nailed the quarterback position in week 2.
Yeah, because I had Jameis right there with him.
Yes, and, you did. Yep.
I didn't think that the 9 assistant coaches not there would have such a dramatic effect in that Matt Rhule's defense. You know what? It might have been that that cyber cat that they've got jumping around, that CGI thing. Maybe it just freaked them all out.
That could have been. I don't think it was that bad. It's I saw that thing in the Panthers Saints game. You know that?
That was something different. But yeah, I mean, the Saints come up with a trash effort overall, and you're sitting there going, all right, now what is this team? Right, that bludgeoned the Packers in week 1. And even though Jameis didn't have to throw for a lot of yards, he was efficient. They took advantage of mistakes. And then they come out here and they get bludgeoned by Sam Darnold and company. And Sean Payton was still there. He wasn't in protocol. So, I don't know. It's something different.
And by the way, I just completely had a brain fart. And that's why, because I just repeated, I'm like, where did I see that stupid cat? And that's why I said, oh, yeah, Saints Panthers. And then I thought we were talking about Dak, but we were talking about Jameis Winston. My point is A, I had a brain fart, but did they do that for any other, like, was there any other game that had, like, something like that? Or was that only for, like, the Panthers?
I think this is just the Panthers innovation at their stadium.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay.
So, well, what was funny, though, is what's been going on is evidently there was when they first saw these kind of things and they saw Sir Purr, a lot of the guys thought he was a bear.
Oh, I gotcha.
And then this thing started jumping around. And
that makes sense.
And they were trying to have a laugh of, all right, what exactly is going is going on here? The guy's looking and like, all right, that's kind of different, but what are we doing? But I got to imagine, if you had tailgated and that thing started jumping past your segment, or your section, yeah. I should say, I mean, maybe you're scared. I mean, I don't know. Halloween came early.
Or if you did acid before the game, like you're wondering,
hey,
wow,
man.
This
I mean, the Grateful Dead have been on tour. Were they in town?
I had the game on, but I didn't have the volume on, and I actually did think that it was unique, but I thought it was a Fox thing because it was a Fox broadcast, and I'm like, oh, maybe like when they go to Detroit, they'll have a lion, you know, doing that. But that was actually pretty cool with the Panthers. I did not realize that. But well, I'll tell you what, that was a hot play for the Carolina Panthers in week 2, and they are 2-0. By the way, we're going to wrap up this episode talking Panthers football. I know that's going to keep you engaged, but they do play Thursday night, so we will dive into that. Instead, we'll take the meantime and move ahead, looking ahead into week 3, but Mike, tying into some of the storylines that we had in week 2, and there are guys that I am worried about. You did the dot, 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 and I'm going to say period, because we are now at that point. I wrote down 3 names. One is a position grouping. The 2 other are names that I would be concerned about. And the first name that I'm going to mention is maybe a guy who got eaten up by that Panther on Sunday, and that's Alvin Kamara. If you have Alvin Kamara on your team, I am now in the worried zone. I am in the danger zone. I thought there was a possibility that Alvin Kamara could actually play himself into MVP talk this year if the Saints were successful. And I didn't think that it would be all on the shoulders and arm of Jameis Winston, that I thought Alvin Kamara would be used quite a bit more. Well, unfortunately, against the Panthers, Alvin Kamara was used, and he had 8 carries for 5 yards. And then when you look at what he did in the receiving game, 4 catches for 25 yards. I am not – I'm starting to get a little bit worried when it comes to the Saints and Alvin Kamara. I know he had 83 yards against Green Bay, Mike, but I think that this may be more of what we get from the Saints offense – as opposed to what we had in week one.
Well, a roller coaster to come. I mean, there's going to be spots on the schedule. I'm sure if we were, you know, to play that game like you do on the schedule release day, it's like, all right, there's opportunity down against this secondary. And there's going to be a few of those, right? There's a win, there's a loss. All right, we're 11-6. Let's go. And then you start out 0-2, and you're like, oh my God, it's gone to hell. But with Jameis, I think you're going to be riding a roller coaster in terms of his productivity and what we saw here. And even, again, going back to week one, he wasn't world-beating. They just took care of it. And so you didn't know how to come out of it. And still, it's, you know, a small sample size, 2 of your 17. But you're starting to see, all right, maybe it's not going to flow. Because Carolina, not seen as a world-beater, they were underdogs at home. Right? One of many home underdogs in week two. So for Kamara, I think he's going to need to make more noise in the passing game if he's going to be a weekly contributor. And think about week three. You're going up against the Patriots. What does Bill Belichick do? If you're an unsure quarterback, you're screwed. Yeah. And so this smacks of a terrible spot on the road.
He, meaning Kamara, actually is going to be available in a guillotine league that I'm in. I know that you and Jason Smith talk about your guillotine leagues as well. And I don't know if I want them. I mean, you do, but then you're like, okay, with the Patriots the next week and how that could play out, I'm concerned about Alvin Kamara. I'll stay in that division. I'm also concerned about a guy that I didn't like in the preseason.
I liked him more.
What's that?
I liked him enough for a back end, too.
Yeah, you did. I did not like him at all. And Mike Davis is proven right now to not be that option. And if you were playing him as an RB2 right now, even if you're playing him as a flex, Mike, you are not getting what you expected from the Falcons running back. And to see now how they're using Cordarrelle Patterson in that backfield, if I'm a Mike Davis owner, I am concerned right now.
Cordarrelle Patterson. The last thing that he needs to do is become a quarterback for a couple of games. So he's done everything else on the field at this point.
He was their short yardage back he's done everything.
Like there's the punch in the face, right? The short yardage back. Like, getting him a few carries, that's not out of the ordinary, right? Every team he's been on has tried to just take advantage of his field vision and his speed. But to come in to where you're at now, where Davis – at this point is barely seeing the football. And look, I was high on the idea of they're going to be terrible and they're going to be winging it around the yard. And he acquitted himself really nicely in relief of Christian McCaffrey a year ago. And now you're going to give the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson. It's almost like Arthur Smith hates us or hates me. Maybe it's just directed directly at me.
He had 7 catches against the Buccaneers. So in a PPR league, you're like, okay, well, that helps a little. He got 25 yards on those catches. That's the part that concerns me. The long reception was 8 yards.
Yay.
The long run for Mike Davis was 8 yards. And Patterson ends up getting a touchdown. It's all those things, because I would say, Mike, that the appeal of Mike Davis was that he probably wasn't going to have to share the workload with anyone. And now he is, and the way that they are going about it, Cordarrelle Patterson is even more of an effective receiver for the Falcons. So that's what has me worried about Mike Davis.
Yeah, kind of kicking the teeth to me, Dan. I'm going to concede after 2 weeks. You're right.
We could let it play out, but I am officially, I would be worried about
him. Oh, no, I agree 100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
And, And my final one is any Pittsburgh wide receiver. Mm. And I know Deontay Johnson's got that dinged up knee. Good thing it's not a significant knee injury. Don't know his status for week three. But again, I'm just watching Ben Roethlisberger and Mike. I had someone ask me on Twitter about a couple of running backs for a flex position and included Juju Smith-Schuster. So when Juju scores, I felt really bad about it, but it's a roll of the dice every week on who's mm-hmm. going to get what, and the numbers that maybe you thought you could get last year from two out of the three wide receivers, now I think are basically just going to maybe one of the wide receivers. I don't trust any of the Pittsburgh wide receivers because of what we've seen from Big Ben through the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's going back to just in the bad way. What I said about Tampa, right, and the three things last week was – you're going to see a lot of points and you're going to have weeks of absolute frustration, right? Week one, Mike Evans was a non-factor. Week two, couple of scores, 75 yards receiving. It's like, all right, great. That means that's two touchdowns, whoever you were banking on of the others. Now Brady's just going to throw five a week to keep everybody happy. but certainly it's going to be the ebb and flow. And with Pittsburgh right now, you've got a very dicey situation. I guess if we go down the old road of, well, things are bad on the defense with TJ Watt being hurt and a couple of injuries in the back seven, right? A couple of late injury scratches ahead of the game against the Raiders. And you say, well, maybe the defense is more susceptible to big plays, which means the offense has to open up. Question is Ben Roethlisberger withering in front of our very eyes?
Those are the three names that I'm worried about. Anybody else got you worried, Mike?
Yeah, I think Jonathan Taylor's a guy I'm really concerned about. Not that I was mm-hmm. high on the Colts as a whole, because – look, my long diatribes about Carson Wentz, and I don't use the quit word often, but it's hard to go through anything that's come out of Philly from last year and believe that he didn't. And now he's hurt again, right? Mm. And somehow he sprained both ankles, which is – I don't know that I've ever seen that. But with Jonathan Taylor, you know, the offensive line's had some injuries, but if your quarterback position is – in flux and you don't have really a go-to. I like Michael Pittman Jr., but what else you got? Jack Doyle's just a guy. T.Y. Hilton's on the IR. Zach Pascal's the guy stealing all the touchdowns. We'll talk about mm-hmm. him in a minute. But if Wentz isn't available, maybe Eason comes in and he's winging it around a little bit more. I don't know, but I'm fearful that they're not going to be able to get that same ground game going. So those early draft choice selections there of Jonathan Taylor, you're going to be a bit upset about what you come away with. So that would be one, you know, just from the running back position, which, as we know, because we start two plus the flex, I mean, that's where we're really going to have a lot of our concerns. You mentioned the receivers in Pittsburgh. Well, obviously, Roethlisberger goes down with that. And then I still go back to, I don't know on a week-to-week basis how much I love Dak Prescott. And the receivers are too good, you say, and it'll have to work. But trying to figure out the balance, maybe if the defense plays better, they're not necessarily throwing it as often, and they play a little more of a possession game. And really, I don't trust Mike McCarthy. Can mm-hmm. I just say that? I mean, I'll just go to that when it comes down to play selection and how he runs an offense.
I will also say this, because I think that the way that I looked at Mike Davis is the way that you looked at Ezekiel Elliott. And so I think you – I mean, with how the Cowboys have played, like, I think that there are concerns with Zeke through the first 2 weeks, especially for how Tony Pollard has looked, but you've been on this train dating back to last season. So it's probably nothing that you're worried about, because you've kind of felt this whole way, you know, for about a year now.
Well, yeah, I mean, with Zeke, coming out of week one, just the short passing game, and obviously it's Tampa and a run defense you don't really want to try to go to the teeth of, right? That's just a bad business.
Yep.
So getting the ball out fast and the dump offs are there. But you saw Zeke, and he even talked about it, right? Blake Jarwin took all the heat for a bad block. That's a play the first couple years of Zeke's career. He runs right through the defender mm-hmm. and into the end zone. And he got tackled in the open field, right? He couldn't make a guy miss from the four or bull him or whatever term you want to use. So that explosiveness. And then when you look at Tony Pollard, when they get him out on the edge, there's just a different speed. There's just a, I'm getting there and I'm getting to my spot. With Zeke, he's got his money. Like, this is where it always gets difficult because you need to throw that out there. But dude got paid. I don't know that the juice to make the extra contact to go and fight for that extra yard is always going to be there. I'm not going to say it's never going to be there, but Tony Pollard right now is running like a guy who really wants a big contract as a runner and as a receiver. And I think that he's going to get rewarded for that with more of a timeshare. Zeke's going to be in there for pass protection, right? That's where he's making his money right now. Because I think he's more effective there than he is as a runner or receiver.
Yeah. It's actually always been his strength. That's why he played it so much as a rookie as well. Mm-hmm. But the point, and I not that I'm doing a complete 180 on Zeke, because I actually stood up and felt that Zeke had value. It's just the point of, how do you keep Pollard off the field?
Sure.
That's now the question. Like, he deserves snaps and he deserves usage, and that's going to come at the expense, likely, of Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe others. Amari Cooper's got some bruised ribs. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see how he fares. At least they have the extra day because they have the Eagles on Monday night.
Well, and Gallup's already out, right, with the IR. So now you're trying to figure out another playmaker on the field. So maybe we see them both. Maybe we see a little Pollard in the slot or something.
Who do we try to add as we head into week three? Who are some names that we need to track on the waiver wire?
Well, we just talked about Tony Pollard. Looking at the and scanning across my various leagues, he's available in about 50% of leagues and about 46% of Yahoo leagues, and that's a very large number. So when we're trying to find critical mass, you're talking about a guy who's effective as a runner and receiver. Don't need to belabor that anymore. We talked about Rondale Moore last week. You should have picked him up, because now you have to fight everybody for him after he walked into the end zone.
Hey, I told you to draft Rondale Moore,
that's
people.
Right.
I've told you in our preseason episodes, if you listened, you can send me the cheese and sausage in the mail.
Nicely done. Still available in nearly three-quarters of leagues. Can you believe that?
Morons.
For a guy that's already got 13 targets, 11 catches, the touchdown, 182 yards receiving. We mentioned Zach Pascal before. I think the target count's going to be all over the place, so the cautionary tale. But for now, he's fine in the end zone, and if he becomes a red zone sit-down kind of guy, there's at least going to be a little bit of value, especially if you're in touchdown-dependent leagues. Darnell Mooney, had to get my Chicago guy in there because I believe dude can play, and you saw a bit of it on Sunday against the Bengals. And I think as Justin Fields eventually becomes the guy here, because it's inevitable, like Thanos getting the snap in the Avengers. That's right, I went nerd on you. Mooney's a guy that's going to benefit because they'll take some shots downfield, and that's what he's there. They had a couple of big plays where they scraped him across the field, and nobody's keeping up with him. And then you get into that confusion of linebacker trying to pick him up, and yeah, that's bad for everybody. So there. Henry Ruggs, week to week, the target count's going to be interesting, I think, but another guy that's worth an add and stash at a minimum, especially if Derek Carr is going to keep pushing the ball down the field. Derek Carr himself available in nearly three-quarters of leagues coming into week three. Nobody buying. Well, now it's time. He's over 800 passing yards through 2 weeks. Teddy Bridgewater, we gave him last week. You didn't listen. Keep going. Is he exciting and sexy? No, but he's efficient. Operational efficiency, nearly 300 passing yards per game, 2 touchdowns. That's a nice Ronco, set it and forget it. Your guy, KJ Osborne, man, there he is. Available in 95% of leagues, Dan, even though through 2 weeks he's already got 15 targets.
Come on, people. What's the deal?
Marvin Jones, we hate the Jaguars. They're begging you to keep paying attention. Marvin Jones is going to be a guy that you need to. Available in nearly 40% of leagues. Already 20 targets, 2 touchdowns. So you take a look at him. Marquise Brown, the last wide receiver standing. All right, you still have Sammy Watkins. But 16 targets, 2 scores already for him in Baltimore.
And if you saw, Black Sports Online said that he brought 2 girlfriends to the Chiefs game. So that's enough to put Hollywood Brown in your lineup.
Look at you. Nicely done. That's a note I missed. Well, yeah. Hell, he goes to the front of the line, Lee. Cut that off and put that to the front of the line.
The double coverage only Hollywood Brown could dream of.
Woohoo! Now that's a headline. That's a T-shirt.
Oh, man.
Double coverage with Hollywood Brown.
BSO has the greatest headlines, and that was one of them. Both of his girlfriends at the same game on Sunday night.
Well, do they know each other? I mean, you know, they might have an arrangement.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Or maybe he's taken from Diedrich Bader in Office Space.
We'll have to investigate. We'll see what's going on in Hollywood's world.
Oh, nicely man. Done.
I just love that story. Plus, I love him because he worked at Magic Mountain just
down the road. How about that?
Yeah, just down the road. So it was when he was in JUCO, when he was in Southern California before going on to Oklahoma. All right, those are your waiver wire ads for as we look ahead to Week 3. And ahead in Week 3 is a Thursday night affair between the Panthers and Texans. This is the perfect game to schedule something with your wife so she thinks that you are giving up football for her or a significant other. Take them out. Be like, look, football doesn't matter to me. You do, because you're only going to be missing Panthers and Texans in Week 3. I know I probably shouldn't say that, but that's what you should do. Mike, any advice for anybody playing any Panthers or Texans coming up on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you have the opportunity and – you know, deeper leagues, 2 QB leagues, where Sam Darnold's been efficient enough to warrant at least a look-see, right, as we go through. And, you know, DJ Moore getting his, and obviously Christian McCaffrey's a monster out of the backfield. So in terms of set it and forget it, yeah, you got two. It's Moore and it's McCaffrey. For the Texans, I guess in most leagues, given injuries – just from an opportunity standpoint, maybe Mark Ingram makes your lineup.
Listen, Philip Lindsay got a touchdown reception. You know, like, and I'm like, isn't that David Johnson's role?
He was supposed to be. Wasn't he supposed to be the leader of this? And now he's the odd man out.
Yeah.
He talked up the other guys too much.
The Texans are the only team in the league with like a first down, second down, and third down back. Hey, truly, it's what it is. It's such a mess. Brandon Cooks actually is, you know, decent for them, but now with Davis Mills, I don't think that you know really what you have. So I wouldn't be anxious to play him. You mentioned Sam Darnold. I like Darnold this week, obviously for those reasons. And you mentioned DJ Moore, and I honestly think that DJ Moore. I was high on Robbie Anderson in the preseason. Because I thought of the rapport between Darnold and Anderson. But I think DJ Moore's value is going to just go up and up as Sam Darnold gets more familiar with the offense. So I like the stock of DJ Moore rising even more than it has the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, with Anderson, I fear that we're going to end up being the hit or miss with him.
Yes.
Right, where you're going to have one big explosive play and a bunch of waiting around twiddling your thumbs.
It's week one.
Yeah,
one catch, 57 yards. It was a touchdown.
Yeah, the other thing I think to look at here is this is a really solid play and spot for the Carolina defense, right? Didn't have to work terribly hard. No, they did. And that's why New Orleans was so bad. But you now have an opportunity against Davis Mills, go against a young quarterback, Matt Rhule, and his defense, I think, comes up with the day here. I'm curious to watch the Texans, right? It's like watching the Lions, like we talked about at the outset, where they're going to play hard. And I know I'm going to get an honest effort, and they're going to hang around in games maybe they have no business hanging around in, but then they're probably not going to have enough. Like, Jacksonville's just that bad, okay? For all the talk we had of Houston coming into the season, you at least had some prideful veterans and a guy in Tyrod Taylor before he gets hurt and may hit the IR with that hamstring that, you know, you at least knew you were going to get a game effort. And defensively – again, not with having traded away most of your names, Lovie Smith would still be able to cobble things together. And this is where we get into discussion of head coaches, coordinators, and where the tween shall meet. Give me Lovie Smith as my defensive coordinator. I'm feeling pretty good about my squad. And so I don't think it's an easy day for Sam Darnold, but I think the Carolina defense is good enough to where you get a couple of short fields for him to take advantage.
And I love Sam Darnold teaming up with Dan Arnold because it's Darnold to D'Arnold. That is what I love. And I said that on Sunday's show with George Reister on Fox Sports Radio. No one laughed.
I love that.
Yeah, Darnold to Darnold. But it's D'Arnold, Dan Arnold.
Well, you know, and then there was this great – I can bring in a third piece for you there, Dan. Guns N' Roses played Summerfest this week, past weekend. And every stop on their tour, they do a different concert poster. So it's a limited edition poster, but they make T-shirts of that. And the poster for Summerfest was the skeleton, right? The classic Guns N' Roses skeleton as Fonzie in front of Gian Arnold.
Oh, instead of Arnold's, it was Gian Arnold's.
It was brilliant. So, one of the best posters on the tour. So we bring it all together.
Very, very good. Summerfest had to be delayed because of pandemic, and so they pushed it back, and you got a September version of it. All right, there it is. That is I Want Your Flex heading into week 3. Get Mike on Twitter at Swollen Dome. You can find me, Dan Beyer, on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. We will reconvene after the Panthers-Texans game and get you set lineup-wise. Plus, we'll have a little bit more of an idea on what is happening injury-wise because there are a lot of dinged-up quarterbacks in the National Football League. We'll have a better idea how it plays out later on in the week, and that's when we will talk to you again.